What's up, people? Welcome to Garage Media Junkies. One of your hosts, Hugo Mesa, and for me, your lovely, deeply, and sexy voice of the podcast world, Chris Mendoza.
How's everybody doing?
Hope you're having a great week. And before we start, I want to just extend the invitation for you guys to don't forget to add us on the social media. We have the Facebook page, Garage Media Junkies, as the way you find it on the Facebook world. And today we tried like do a little streaming test. Let's see how it works. If you guys like to see our face when we're talking, we may do it that way. But let us know what you think. We're not gonna not invest, but do extra steps for this podcast. I don't try to make it technically hard. So, also, we still have that T-shirt deal. I don't see any review, and I know it's listeners out there.
I always think that one of our junkie guests is gonna actually just do it because all of them afterwards love the shirt idea. And we haven't had a single person check. I think they're trying to be really polite and they want a fan to get it. But no, we really want you guys to have this t-shirt. Yeah. Please just leave a review or even I'll take a comment on the Facebook page at this point.
Yeah.
Just let us know how you're doing and we will send you a t-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, again, you don't want to be that idiot on the 100 podcast. We know Garage Media Junkie shirt. You can actually also... go to the website. There's always material about the topics that we talk. I tend to do it. And even I try to put also info about our junkie guests, a little bit more of their lives, what they do, work, and social media too, in case you're falling in love and you want to be a creep and stalk our junkie guest. What else? You can add me on Facebook too with my name, Hugo Mesa, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me as Film Inc. And... after 21 podcasts after, finally I can say you can add me on Xbox Live.
I can't believe it.
Hooray! Yeah.
He does have an Xbox. Where do they find you?
Film Inc. That's the way you find me.
Is there an underscore in there?
No, I think it's straight Film Inc.
Just one word or two?
One word altogether.
One word altogether. It's cool. We're friends. You can look for him. He's the guy in the kilt.
Exactly. I'm the... wrong guy with the kilts.
That's how I knew I found the right one.
Yep.
And you guys know where you can find me. I'm only on Facebook, Chris Espinoza.
We may try to make him get into Instagram, but let's see.
My wife would be so happy. Maybe again on one of the special ones. Maybe on like number 30.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'll see. We'll make it the Instagram cast. Or you can find me on Xbox. You can find me at Zeppelin, Zeppelin.
Even better, you can, add us together and then go there and kick our two asses, shiny asses.
In case you don't know, too, Hugo has actually taken the biggest plunge when it comes to gaming. So, I mean, if you're into it, he's twitching.
A little bit.
But again, that's more than I've ever done. It's really terrifying to kind of put yourself out there in real time. And you're not one of those Twitchers that's silent either. Because sometimes I click into Twitch and I just watch somebody play and they're just, it's just silent. All I can hear is buttons or keys. You actually really try to engage. I mean,
it's freaking hard. I'm like, try to understand what I'm saying, talking, try to process if I'm saying something stupid and then try to, do the game.
Somebody once said that twitching is a lot like playing music where you can play your guitar pretty well, but when you try singing and playing the guitar,
it
becomes this weird thing where you're all of a sudden really off tempo and you're off time and maybe you're off key. Your brain's having to function both sides, and that's what they compare twitching to when you commentate on it. Maybe
that's a good thing to avoid Alzheimer's or something like that.
Yeah, I think it would
make your brain like work a little extra.
But you can find them on Twitch. And let me know. I have a great idea for a Twitch, but I mean,
there you go.
I want to call him the Destiny Virgin. I want to get Hugo hooked into Destiny before Destiny 2 comes out, and I just want to walk him through the campaign on Twitch. This would be amazing. I just want one.
Yeah. Again, guys, we're trying to do a few things, but please engage with us so we know what you guys like, or even if you feel interested in what we have to say, probably for the most part not.
But we're just talking.
But it's fun. It's fun. We have fun. And but today episode, it's one that maybe Chris is going to feel in his guts a little bit.
I hate this.
You want to explain a little bit of that first, and then we jump?
So, episode 22 is going to be about aliens.
Because Alien Covenant is coming May 19th, and it's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's your favorite franchise, one of them.
Ridley Scott. In my top 10 movies.
Yeah.
So, yep.
So, I hate aliens. Shout out to my dad, who fucked me up for life.
And I can see why after our little text messaging last night.
Oh, my God. He's like,
hey. I was like, okay, yeah, I can see why.
A bunch of screaming emojis. No, so the reason I kind of get scared, I'm a firm believer that when your brain can't process something, when you're little, it can get scarred. And when it becomes scarred, it becomes like a real phobia. Right. And, I mean, we're talking like things that paralyze you with fear. Because you can be afraid of something like heights, but if you experience it as a kid where you feel like you're going to die, it's going to screw you up for the rest of your life. Your brain can't quite heal from that at that young age. So my mom never let us watch TV. We've been over this. She recently had started to go back to school to get her MBA, and my dad was in charge of watching us. And
of course a dad.
And my dad loves TV, and he does all the right things. He pulled out the couch downstairs for us into the pull-out bed. He put us all down there so he could watch us and watch the TV, like a responsible parent, instead of go up to your rooms.
Yeah.
and basically started watching this movie called Fire in the Sky. For those of you that don't know, it's based off of a true story about a Colorado mountaining crew that was out there, and somebody went missing. A guy named Travis went missing from the crew, and they tried to tell the police, like, hey, there was this light out there, and it completely took him. He's missing. And so the police were like, no, you guys probably killed him. And so it became this huge thing where they had to kind of debate everything, and then 3 days later, the guy shows up naked and was like, hey, I was abducted. Like, it's real. They took lie detector tests. Everybody passed. So it's one of the long-standing things of what the fuck really did happen. Either way, the whole movie is pretty slow, and it's pretty like, wow, you don't really know what's happening. But as a kid, I remember this so vividly, which is so scary. My sister and I, when we were watching it, we'd ask my dad, what's it rated? Oh, it's rated R. Oh, and I would tell my sister, who's older than me, by the way, go to bed. Yeah, it's too scary for you. It's too scary. Right. And so, like a good person, she went to bed. I stayed up and watched. I have no idea as a kid what's happening, other than the fact that this guy's gone. He comes back. He's covered in goo. He's naked. And then the last 10 minutes is him having this flashback of what happened in the spaceship. And, I mean, Hugo had never seen this film. And I texted him why I was so afraid of it. So he watched this clip. And you get to see these. They are the most terrifying looking aliens.
They're fucking ugly, those motherfuckers.
As a kid, I remember seeing it. And I remember being so terrified that I had to turn away. But the image of it was scarred in my brain.
Totally.
And when I tried to look back, they are putting like this thin veiled cover over him so they can operate on him without his organs spilling out everywhere. They're drilling into his eye. My brain at that point viewed that as ultimate terror. And this is what I was talking about with Hugo. He's like, is it all aliens or what? Like, Aliens Covenant, like, is that going to scare you? Here's the big difference with the aliens. When they are intelligent, cold, calculated, we are more of like a microscopic thing to them to study because they are so far past us.
Yeah.
That's what terrifies me, because really we don't matter to them and they're just studying us. They could wipe us all out at any moment. I cannot control what's happening. I cannot fight back. And so that's what terrifies me. When it's alien, like the xenomorphs, that's more of like a creature, like an alien creature, like an alien jaguar came down.
I mean,
that's,
it's smart in their own ways, but not like an...
it's more of an animalistic instinct of like hunt, kill, eat, move on. Yeah. There's purpose to it. Right, it doesn't really have its own ship. It doesn't have its own technology.
Yeah.
That doesn't scare me as much. I think I would do okay during Alien. I'd be super tensed out, but it's films where the alien has that sentient, almost unbridled, is it malevolent being where you know it's there to harm, it's there to do something bad where you really can't do it. It's here to abduct and destroy, and the worst part is nobody's going to fucking believe you. That terrifies me. Gives me goosebumps now. I hate it. That's horror to me. My wife laughs because she goes, but it's not real. And I said, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. You're right. We have never seen one. Nobody's really, quote unquote, experienced it.
But it's ridiculous to think that the universe is infinite and nobody else is out there. So.
People have phobias about snakes or clowns. I get it. That's real. It's around the corner. It's in your backyard. I get that you were really afraid of those. But you know what? I can avoid those things by not living in a heavily wooded area. I don't go to circuses. Yep. With aliens, the scary part is it usually happens when you're sleeping. Yeah. And that's the most unguarded you can be. And I already have like trust issues with sleep. I don't sleep around people I don't know. So to go to sleep and then wake up because you feel like something's watching you and observing you. No, screw it all. Damn it to hell. So yeah, shout out to my dad for this mother. We were, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. We were coming back from like Laughlin one year and he's driving us through the desert. And it's like middle of the night.
Oh,
everybody's sleeping. My dad pulls off to the side of the road. So wakes everybody up. And he's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Chris, the engine died. And there's no fucking life out in this desert. Except all these stars. And he's like, Chris, get out of the car. Something weird is happening. I'm like, what is happening?
Fuck.
Don't go out there, Dad. Yeah. That's where they're going to get you. And he's like, Chris, look out in the sky. Oh my gosh, something's flying in the sky. As a kid, I was probably like 8. I had grown up a little bit since second grade, maybe 9. I'm freaking out. He could do that now. I would still have the same reaction of, I'm not fucking stepping outside this car. That's when they're going to abduct me. And then you're going to have this horrible story to tell people that no one's going to believe you.
They
I'm gonna
fucked
get,
me in
yeah,
the ass.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I have a real hate relationship with alien movies. My wife, I totally forgot to recommend this last week, but The Arrival, an amazing movie, still about aliens, still goosebumps the entire time. Pins and needles, very anxious throughout all that. And there was nothing bad about it.
It's a different take on the, you know, alien genre.
I loved it, but I still hated it at the same time.
Right.
But I get really kind of, I'm even sweating now. Like, I don't like it. I don't like aliens. So Dad.
I have an adrenaline shot in case we pass out this podcast. Maybe it should stream that part.
But at least for me, when you look at horror, it's about internalizing why it's so terrifying. Yeah. And I think for aliens, it's something that's smarter than all of us, and it's something that's not always here to take our resources. Nobody fucking needs what we have, especially if you've mastered space travel.
Right.
It's because they're so far advanced from us that we're not even prey. We're meaningless to them.
Right. And it's kind of like the thing of, I think also in a lot of Hollywood movies, they put it as a kind of like our fear of thing that, I mean, we're special in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see somebody outsmart you that way, then you suddenly you're not that special. I think that's also the fear, you know?
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head, because back in the day we used to be afraid of invasion.
Right.
And of like other countries, because, you know, what happens if they are better than us? What happens if we fight? It's one thing when it's, you know, Russia, when you fear that Russia's going to invade or Russia's going to start a war. It's totally different when it's like, oh shit, this other being from like 12 galaxies over just came over and said, you know, like, stick them up. And all these Hollywood movies like to think that we can fight back. And I think that's what's terrifying to me, is in all reality, we don't stand a goddamn chance.
Yeah, I mean,
like, but we think we do.
Like you say, you know, these alien or whatever you want to call it, you know, at that point, if they can travel, time travels pace, like, what the fuck you're gonna do back? Like, what technology do we have against that?
We're gonna fire a nuke at them? Oh yeah, that's gonna be great.
I mean, that would be probably the only thing, like, kill ourselves to kill the enemy, but I don't see other way around. I mean, this is the assumption
on
most movies that they're hostile, you know.
Right, right. And again, that's what I liked about The Arrival. It was more of like, hey, we need to communicate because there's something going on. Great movie, go see it. I recommend it, and it's about aliens, so that should say something.
Yeah.
But that's the premise of aliens as far as media and where it takes you, and even when we get into like the video game aspect. Right. But I know Hugo is dying to talk about his alien franchise. What made you fall in love with this franchise?
Look, first of all, I can't remember entirely what was the first time I watched the first one. I just have few glimpses until few months that I rewatch it, like revisit the movie. So first of all, one of my favorite directors, Ridley Scott, is the one who took charge of that movie. It's not entirely, I mean, that first movie is not entirely about the alien. Before that, a lot of the movies were focused on that, like you had talked, the hostile part, the one that they want to come and check on us and everything. And this movie, in a way, it is, but It's more about the atmosphere around. Because I think primarily this movie is a horror movie, a really high caliber, well made horror movie.
I feel like they did the whole Jaws thing with it too.
Yeah, and
where
I think,
they hide.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. Yeah, where they like hide the actual like fear. They hide the alien, and it's that ominous presence that actually plays up a lot of people's like, oh my god, it was such a good movie. But it was because they could. He's really good at doing tension.
Oh yeah, I mean, I saw, and I think I put it on the Virage Media page. It's these behind the scenes kind of thing, how was made this movie. And even from the writer's little conception idea of, you know, how I'm going to make this interesting movie. And the, it was more, so what was the name of, I think O'Bannon was the writer of the script. But before that, he went to work with Jodorowsky. Dune, they never came to light. Everything went down, but he met Giger, I think, which is the one that took all the concept of the alien and all the art. And these guys, you see it, and it looks like a freaking vampire. All dressed in black, super wide, and kind of socially awkward guy. But all his art is like freaking weird and creepy. All his painting. And all the plastic art that he has. Like, you can see right away that they definitely took all this inspiration. Because even some of his painting has kind of like alien shape kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, from the original monster. So that's what happened. This guy, seeing these all this art, come up with, like, what if, you know, it's this creature and you're isolated and you're in space. And not precisely doing it. We're going to come back to Earth or something like that, or they can't come to Earth. What if we just pass in this neutral space, which is obviously the space, and you're just in that big-ass ship? Now, the thing that is really interesting is definitely when you see the first glimpses of the ship, it's really big. But all the entire movie, with the framing and lighting and everything, seems like it's so tight and small. Like, you feel suffocated for the most part.
Claustrophobic, yeah.
And that's like a big deal for the director to accomplish that. It's so easy to throw the camera, but how in the hell are you going to make it feel that way?
And again, the ship itself was a character in the movie because you... It was the first time it wasn't this glorified space. Like, when you look at Star Trek.
Right, exactly.
Or the Millennium Falcon, it wasn't something that was, like, put on a sound stage, and you could tell that the actress had a lot of room to breathe. It was, no, what would this junker look like in space? Uh-huh. Really, how would I make this work if I needed to be this big? How big can I... It felt like a submarine, is what he kind of made it felt like, where everything's super compact, super tight, and you just have to know where to go and it really played to it. Because you're right. The horror isn't the alien. The horror is the isolation you feel out there. And the fact that really nobody's coming to help. There isn't a bigger end game of this is a war between the xenomorphs and the humans. It's I'm going to die here unless I outsmart this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And even that, he has his glimpses of horror. But I think the most iconic one is that chest burst.
Oh, at the very end? No, spoilers,
like,
guys.
Not... Kind of like in the half of the movie, it's insane. By the time I watch it, I'm like, I don't know if, you know, they did that great. But at the time, it was ridiculous, insane.
Yeah, like, nobody had ever seen that.
No, like the face hugger thing, like that freaking thing is so scary. By the way, it looks like a vagina, the whole mechanism of how it works. But
I don't care what you say. If you say it doesn't look like a vagina, you haven't seen a vagina.
And I can totally see this Giger guy thinking, oh, yeah, face hugger, like with a vagina kind of looking thing, sexual thing. Because really, that thing gets stuck in your
head.
Yeah,
that's how they reproduce. Yeah,
exactly. So even all those ideas for, like, what, it was 80s kind of?
80s.
I think it was 79. Yeah.
Was 80s. Was it 79? No, it had to have been like 80 something.
No, it was 79.
Really?
So by the time all those ideas, they were kind of crazy. Like, ooh, yeah, these guys are. It was probably producer was thinking it's either it's gonna be a hit or it's gonna be a big mess, you know, portraying all these ideas and stuff. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 79. And
you are right. Jeez.
It's quite a while.
Yeah, and they didn't make the sequel until 86.
Yeah, and even it wasn't Ridley Scott at that point.
That's insane.
So yeah, I mean, the chest burst is, I mean, but it's still, for me, it's like, yeah, it looks like scary. The funny thing about that scene, if you guys didn't watch, and I'm gonna spoil a lot of the alien stuff, so stop this if you didn't watch anything. But Ridley Scott never tell the other actors what will happen. So that reaction that you see of all the actors and actresses involved,
no, it's freaking way,
it's for real. It's like real. They didn't expect that thing will come up, you know, from the chest and all the blood will spill and everything. So it's pretty crazy.
That's crazy. Talk about method acting. Jesus.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, Ridley Scott, it's one of those, I guess the only way I can put it, is a master of cinema. Like, he's right on that spot with Martin Scorsese, with somebody like...
He's had a couple missteps, but I feel like recently he's kind of gotten it back after he did The Martian. He's done a lot of good films.
He always go like up and down a little bit. But I mean, doing that amount of... Because he's really active.
Yeah, he is. He's go and back his to... Wife, his wife works with him, doesn't she?
I think so.
Yeah.
And he's one of those, the few motherfuckers you can say, I want this much money and this is what I'm going to make. And nobody's going to tell him no for the most part.
Right, yeah.
But I think that was his second movie, I think. I know, I'm fucking jealous. I don't think even if I have the money, I could come up with something like that just in my second movie, you know?
But a lot of it, too, I mean, it could have fallen apart had you not had a good art director.
Yeah.
Which we clearly know from our junkie guest, for our DP, who is a pretty maker. If you don't have a good one on there, your film's going to fall apart. Yeah. You're not going to notice all these things. So I think that definitely, he kind of had a dream team when he made that. Good writing, good art direction, and then he was a great director. So it all just kind of, and he had good actors too.
The casting is really interesting. And I think the most iconic one is Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Ripley. And I think the interesting part is she come from theater. I think before that she never made a movie.
Which is, again, even as the film stands, it was, how many? It's like 40 years before what we're trying to do now in our movement, which is to have a female-led protagonist that is not only just a, she's not a damsel in distress. There is no male that comes to save her or is a counterpart to her. It's just her. She's a badass. She can take care of herself. 40 years before we're doing it now, and Hollywood is still just like,
let's gonna start trying.
Right, but... Jesus, it's one of the more successful film franchises that you can think of.
If you tell me, if you ask me for the ultimate female heroine persona, will be for me that Ripley will come up right away in the first place.
She's no nonsense. Yeah. She can kick ass. She can take care of herself and others, and she's fearless.
And I like the metamorphosis thing that she has during the movie because.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning of the movie, she's kind of a little bit of naive and kind of like, I don't want trouble. Like, she's going by the books. Like, it's one scene they come back from the spaceship they found.
Yeah.
And this guy is, you know, has the alien inside with the face, her in the face, and they're coming back to the ship. And clearly, that's a code of infection of somehow. So she's like, no, I'm not going to open the damn ship and expose everybody to that. She was doing the right thing. She was going by the books. And there's this other... Well, I'm going to talk about the cyborg in a couple minutes. But then at the end, she start fighting. Not because she's a badass. It's because that's what you need to do to survive that freaking thing in the ship. So that's pretty cool.
So again, I'll ask, like, what initially drew you to... Because again, how old were you when you saw these films?
I don't know. Probably between 8 to 10, somewhere around that.
And is it one of the situations where it's like your cousin brought the film over and he's like, you gotta watch this, or did you find it?
No, my dad rented out the Blockbuster. Because my dad, I mean, my friend always bring, like, I mean, my friend, my cousin always will come up with these weird movies in a way. But my dad always feel interested in those. So it was one of those things that, like, it's fine. It's family Sunday. We're going to watch a few movies.
Okay.
So I always will stay late with my dad because by the end of that Sunday, it was me and my dad awake watching movies. My mom would go to sleep. My brother was too little to watch those things. So, but what attracted me a lot is, I guess it was the idea of that monster in a way. Because like you say, until that time, we always have the typical
great shape aliens, head, yeah,
big eyes kind of alien. And maybe it was a weird thing when I was a kid. Maybe it was a weird thought, but it never felt terrified for those months, like those aliens at all. I thought always like, they kind of look like dumb. First of all, they always portray them like kind of short than us and with these big round shape. Like, I can punch him in the face and it's fine. This idiot is not going to do anything besides this freaking beast hunting me.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
That was my thought when I was a kid. And it was kind of mysterious because you never see him right on the screen. You have few glimpses here and there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like one of the parts that kind of caught me when I was a kid. Now when I'm older, I appreciate more stuff like the filmmaking and the work of the director of photography is insane.
Yeah.
Like, you watch it until this date and it looks way better than so many crap that I watch in this year.
Especially, I mean, I'm blown away, especially for a 1979 movie.
Yeah. I mean, some of the effects.
Oh, yeah. No.
It doesn't work that great. Still, it amazed me how well they were made. Especially, I'm going to post that behind the scenes again. Because once you watch all that stuff, especially if you care about filmmaking a lot, like, even it's a part of the how they, I don't know. You ever watched the movie?
The first one, yes.
You know, when they find the ship and they went down and find the egg-shaped things.
Yeah.
And then it's a part where he's watching and it kind of moves inside. Mm-hmm. It was just Ridley Scott with a big lamp, like a real powerful lamp, moving his hands to make the shape, like the shadow. But it's stuff like that. Like, if you realize how much they need something stupid like that, but he saved the movie or the effect that he was trying to do. Something as simple as that. But it's just kind of portray the mindset that you have on set all the time. You are kind of like a guy to fix problems more than, oh yeah, I'm creative, you know?
Yeah, I'm the guy that's leading the team. No, I'm the guy inside the egg making it look like it's moving. Yeah.
Even like the facehuggers, the scene where they show when he's in the table facing up and you can see all the
like what's on the underside,
right? And it's tons of like chicken and some like you know, fish and stuff that he mix it up and like, oh yeah, that looks kind of creepy and weird.
Yeah,
there's stuff like that, you know. It's interesting,
right? Yeah, because again, like I said, like,
it's probably the equivalent of the Biden muffin, chocolate muffin thing.
Oh god.
Let's put a lot of these like piece of meat together and it's gonna look good.
Shout out to Steph.
There you go.
Give this guy a muffin. One bite.
Yeah.
Put some crumbs. Why not? So you saw it when you were younger and you fell in love with it. Yeah. And that's what drew you to it. And you liked the aspect. And see, this is why I never really feared that one. Because if it's going to kill me, it's going to kill me. There was no ifs, ands, or buts.
It's a really bad fashion way to die.
Yeah. It's going to be quick. It's going to be painless. It hunted me. I mean, the scariest part is running, but it's obviously going to be faster than me. It's going to stick its tail through me. I'm going to die.
Right.
Versus the grays, which are, they obviously have technology which can suck. I could punch them all in the head, but it's going to have to, I'm going to get beamed away by their tractor beam, and then I'm going to be like unable to move. That's what.
Or even worse, they're going to put you in a cage. You know, for the rest of your life, doing experiments on your body.
And again, I don't know how my 6-year-old brain processed that was more terrifying than an actual like scary alien.
Well, because I saw the fucking scene, like, okay, I can see why it's kind of.
I'm glad that you actually looked that up. So anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, still to this day, they are the scariest representation of. You would call them gray aliens. They're the scariest representation of gray aliens because they're short, they're tiny, they have the bulbous eyes, but they don't look cartoonish at all. They look very real. Like, this man must have had some sort of vision of what was there because...
I know. It's a really specific style and look of these aliens.
Yeah, I know. Goosebumps, I can see. Fucking crazy. It's burned into my head.
Yeah,
but no,
I can tell.
Enough with that one. Back to aliens. Yeah. Back to your thing.
So it's Alien, and so far the movie is one of my favorites. Top 10, right there. Then it came Aliens.
Yeah, excuse me for always putting the plural there.
I still like it. Really smart, right? We're gonna show more than one, and we're gonna call it Aliens. I mean, it didn't excite me as the first one as much, but still, I feel like it's a really great action movie.
Instead of a horror flick, it's now turned into an action. Which, again, I think horror films can't have sequels. Mm-hmm. You can't. when you do, you either copy and paste everything you did before and it loses its horror, or it turns into, like you said, an action film because you want to rev up everything. You want to up the ante and you lose the horror. I think that's what kind of...
I think because that Aliens was directed for James Cameron, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is.
And I think the thing, it's he kind of asked Ridley Scott advice. I'm not sure about this, but I think I read it somewhere.
I don't know.
I need to refresh my brain. But I think it was something like that, where he went for Ridley Scott advice. And Ridley Scott, it was really clear. And he's really passionate. That's the reason he's coming to do all these other movies after so many years. Where James Cameron's like, no, I'm going to look like a dumb after what you did. And I think it was a smart move for James Cameron.
Yeah.
Because what Ridley Scott did at that time, it was like a freaking masterpiece. Like, you don't want to screw it up with going like, oh yeah, I can beat this guy in the same game.
But again, that's another sign of a good director to know your own limitations. Yeah. And you got to hand it to some of these directors that can approach a project and look at it and go, that's too big for me. I mean, I have a lot of respect, even though I would love to see what they could do with the property. I can really respect when they take a step back and go, no, it's not for me. Because it's so easy to just grab that money, do a half-assed job, and then
like, bye-bye.
Move on. Yeah, because it's not my baby. It's not mine.
Like, maybe you'll never have another job in your entire life, but you have enough money to live your entire life. You know, it's so easy. But yeah, James Cameron says, like, you know what? What if we put the, you know, militia element in there? That's what it come up. And he did a great job. I mean, still the aliens were scary. Because now... And the Ridley Scott of Alien was kind of slow moving and looking kind of alien. And this one, they're like running, doing like really crazy shit. More animalistic in a way.
Right, yeah. It's more threatening. I think, yeah, the first one, it's almost, I know it sounds weird, it's almost evil personified.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like this sulking shadow that follows you and that you're constantly paranoid about. That's what the feeling I got from it. Yeah. And with Aliens, you're right. It's a very animalistic. And I think that's the approach that all the films afterwards kind of adapted with.
Really bad.
Which it's not the greatest move, but it works for James Cameron's version.
I mean, those are my favorite, Alien and Alien so far.
Right. Because then we get into, what is the next one called?
Well, the next one was Alien 3. And it's sad because you know, why not? It was sad because David Fincher was the director of the movie. Even when he claims he never, like, he don't accept that that's his movie. He tried to pretend it. Nope, I never did it.
Like, nope, Kevin Bacon, Kevin Bacon wasn't in Footloose. Right. Nope.
So what happened is this is the clear example of greediness of Hollywood and franchises. They hired him after he did a few music videos for a lot of big guys like Madonna, Michael Jackson, stuff like that.
Who the hell was in charge of that? Oh, I loved his music video for Madonna. Let's put him in charge of Aliens.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that if he had all the freedom that he deserved as a director, this movie will be amazing. Because I think he was... I mean, we have the horror one. We have the... war kind of movie, and then he come up with kind of like the element of spirituality in a way of this movie. In a way.
Oh, yeah. Now, again, I haven't seen Aliens 3, but I have seen like synopsis of it. I tried brushing it up. But
so that was the problem with that movie. It's like the other two made a lot of money. There are too many people involved. This guy has the worst experience. He's trying to pull kind of like what happened to Guillermo del Toro and what's the movie? Oh, fuck, forget the bug thing movie. Dang it, I will find it. But yeah, Guillermo del Toro was kind of like Kronos. No, Kronos is the vampire. Never mind. I will find it in a second. He was in the same experience as Guillermo del Toro when they were trying to do this thing. No, this is not going to work. They write the script so many times. And like you say, it's just because you signed a contract, you're fucked up and you need to finish. And also they tried... It was like at that point where they were trying computer effects. They weren't the most amazing one. Like, they tried to go with this, it was a Xenomorph, and then I forget if, I think they introduced another one. And this movie, they went to facehugger with the dog, so it was kind of like a dog-looking alien kind of thing. Yeah. And, yeah, the effect looks bad, period.
And again, and this is my gripe, again, side note, with Hollywood, is if you're going to do a franchise, you got to stick with the same team. And if you do switch directors, at least make sure your writers are the same, yeah, or that your production team is the same. Because you can include the same actors, but they're not the ones that are, right, are, they're just portraying what everybody fell in love with.
Yeah.
And so if Ridley Scott's the one that's behind that vision and that direction and that everybody was super into, yeah, if he's not willing to go on to another one, that's kind of a sign that you should probably drop it. But again, Hollywood is a greedy mistress, yeah, that wants money, so it's going to cash everything it has. And yeah, anything, you look at even Terminator. Yeah. Terminator 1, amazing. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Way better, yeah.
Right, but again, James Cameron. He had the same writing team, same everybody on there. He stepped away, and then 20 years later, we're like, hey, we want a third one. James Cameron said no.
Right.
But they did it anyway, and it was shit. And then they went to number 4.
Yeah, and then, yeah, whatever.
And then Genesis.
And then Khaleesi was in the Terminator 2.
Which wasn't bad, but it's not, yeah, it wasn't, it was like a fraction of what it, of yeah, any kind of greatness. Well, you should have let it die is what. Right. But Aliens 3 is a prime example of you did a bad.
I mean, and that's the thing. We come back to the same thing. It was the producers. Too many people involved. Ridley Scott, Sigourney Weaver tried to push a lot of her ideas. Like, it was some weird idea where she has some sort of sexual encounter with one of the aliens, like that freaking fucked up ideas, yeah, were thrown there. So when everybody's pushing, you as a director, like, especially probably what's his name, Fincher was really David, young, yeah, and starting. So when you're starting, you don't know what's going on, what's the deal. I should stuck to my guts, I should be a prick, you know, because you don't want to lose opportunities that young. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's not that bad, because I at least on the, you can tell it's a David Fincher movie with some of the framing, the lighting, some of the story behind. But it's not that great.
It's the weakest out of them?
No, it's the next one, which is Alien Resurrection. You never hear about that?
No.
You want to know what it's about?
Go for it, man.
Apparently, in this distant future, in this universe, humans are so stupid that they still want to domesticate these aliens, where clearly these other three movies show us that we can't. We're, Jesus, at least on the evolution, you know, change, they're on top, period. So they tried, now they have these apparently plastic, you know, thing that the acid doesn't melt the plastic apparently and shit like that. So they have like a colony where they have aliens, this colony ship. And they also, they're trying to clone
Ridley.
Ripley.
Yeah, Ripley.
So they've success. They cloned Ripley, but then, again, like in all these movies, somehow, some way, aliens escape, all shit, let's escape of this ship again, all the whole story. But then on the way, they, so how they link it? There you go. In the 3, Ripley has an alien inside, but it's an alien queen. So when it's,
oh yeah, I do spoiled, remember this.
Then she throw on the fire or yeah, the sun and melts this, and blah blah. So they want, that's the reason they want to clone it. So they have this queen alien, they keep producing it.
So stupid.
But everything changed, because now apparently, instead of, you know, throwing like a, almost like an egg alien, now the queen alien has a, like a womb, and they have, she has this hybrid human alien monster. And then this monster alien killed the queen alien, because this kid thinks that Ripley is the mom, not the queen alien. All these weird shit.
So you can see where a lot of fans from the franchise just, yeah, kind of started to die off and stop, mm-hmm, caring. Now, after Resurrection, we got a couple of more terrible films in the form of Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, all the ABP, which is not canon, I guess. If we were going to put a name or something. But it's still, yeah.
So stupid.
I mean, even the first one was kind of like, okay, did they try? The second one is like they fucking shot the whole thing in darkness because all that you see is a few like glimpses of the skin. Everything is so freaking dark. You never see the predator or the alien.
So I think why the films fail beyond the fact that they're just dumb popcorn flicks at that point and what they've turned into is you lose sight. And when you make these sequels, especially for something like Aliens, and Jaws for that matter, these are really iconic movies of horror and terror. Yeah. It's kind of like you get one bang for your buck, you get it one time. Once the audience sees it, they get to experience that terror, and then they move on, and then it's not as scary anymore the second time, and even less so the third time. So again,
especially if it's a bad movie, because it's nothing. I mean, one thing is try to retake a franchise, and you still did a good effort, but it wasn't. You know, it's like that you say the first movie, it has a mark already. It's hard to overcome. But when would you do it? On top of that, you do a really shitty movie. It's like, dude.
And again, and everything that Ridley Scott set up, and the writers, I don't want to just always credit him, but everything that they set up for the first one lost its meaning a little bit in the second one, and even more so in the third. And again, it is so far removed by Resurrection that it's just the shell of what it was. So I think... for me, when you have that track record in your franchise history, people don't respect it as they should.
Yeah.
Which, it's shitty. So people don't want to, people love it, but they don't want to put it up on that pedestal anymore because it's tainted. So I think when we came around to, what was it, Prometheus,
yeah. A lot of people hate it. I'm one of those that love it a lot.
So why was it so... Again, I didn't watch it because at the time it was just fucking Aliens and I was like, nope.
And you don't watch so much Aliens in that movie, though.
Didn't matter. Well, nope.
Actually, no, never mind, because are the engineers, probably those are going to scare the shit out of you. Because apparently those guys are the ones that create humanity. So.
Yeah, and so why do you think that it's so... the consensus is very just divided?
So... After so many years, like you say, that franchise hurt a lot from all these other movies. And, you know, I think Ridley Scott is really proud of that Alien movie. And why not? I mean, it's really amazing. So he said, you know what? Fuck it. Let's find out how we can get those rights back. I want to... And for him, it's Alien... And everything else doesn't exist for him.
That was my next question. Yeah. So for him, what is canon? Is it just his original Alien? Yeah. Alien. Okay.
So good probably to know. He kind of liked Aliens, the second one, because still is kind of on the line. It's kind of is good, mate. But definitely 3 and 4 is like, nope, it doesn't exist in my universe.
Right.
So he tried to get the rights back and like, okay, I'm going to... Supposedly, he's planned to do 6 more Alien movies. So
what
we
the
have
fuck?
Prometheus and Alien Covenant. And then still, there's 4 more to come.
Okay.
Actually, he's already start production for the other Alien.
Okay.
Even
so,
when he's...
so why did he then? If you know this answer, if you don't, why did he decide to call it Prometheus instead of putting the brand name of Alien? Because I know a lot of people were super confused about it.
I think it was a misstep on the marketing part.
Should it have been like Alien Prometheus?
But I mean, it has some sense of it. I know it's some. Loosely inspired, I forget the book, but I'm going to put it on the Grudge Media page. It's a book about creation of humanity and stuff like that. I need the name. It's supposed to be a well-known book. But anyways, Prometheus, because the Greek god, you know, is the one that gave the fire to humans. So it has sense. You didn't watch it. I'm going to spoil a little bit, but still, I highly recommend you to watch it.
Nope.
These alien kind of guys known as the engineers. That's what they call it in the movie.
Terrifying.
This guy drink this black gooey thing, and all his body and everything start dissolve to little DNA particles go into the water, and that's supposedly in the movie how the humans and everything else in the world exists, because this guy, you know, sacrifice himself and throw himself into water, all these particles out there, and let's see what happened. You know, probably these guys didn't have anything more intense or cool to do than let's create life, you know, because why not? But it's really clear in the beginning of the movie, this other group of engineers on top kind of looking at him, not in a cool way, kind of like, you are this, you know, giving to this fucking planet everything for, you know,
yeah,
what. Anyways, then tons of thousands of years in the future, humans, we find their planet, where they come from. Because apparently all these ancient cultures have the same image where this guy pointed to the stars. They find like the route they go, and basically kind of answer some questions of the alien movie, the first one, like what, how this alien thing was created. What, I don't know if you remember when they go into the ship, is this kind of guy with an elephant mask kind of thing.
Yeah.
And everybody was questioning, what, who the fuck is that guy? Why? Nobody explained that. So it half answer, but then bring more questions. Like why... Now we want to know about these engineers. What the fuck are they doing in this planet?
And stuff. So, I
that's
think
the confusing. And it wasn't that much aliens until the end. It's a little like almost like it's one of those kind of like last like post credit kind of scenes
that ties it in there. And I think that that's where everybody went wrong in the sequels is the alien, the xenomorphs. Excuse me, the xenomorphs. Yeah. I guess to me because they're not. They're not, I mean, they're intelligent hunters, but they're not intelligent, scientifically.
Yeah.
They're more primitive and they they hunt to eat. And that's it. They're not vengeful. They're not whatever.
It's pretty much like the way they put it in the movie. And I think this second one, pretty much is these engineers, they want to, like the same way they create humans. With this guy sacrifice himself because they can, they want to know what happened. They create like almost like this weapon kind of thing,
right? And
that's
so,
what is the scene of.
But
xenomorph.
It ended up on that other ship. You don't know how. You don't know why. But the films, the sequels didn't care to explain that. They just wanted more alien. They wanted more terror in space.
Exactly.
They focused on the wrong thing to evolve into because knowing that, no. My question is, where the fuck did this thing come from?
Yeah.
Where are more of them? How did it get on the ship? Where the fuck was this? Why is this happening? That's what I want to know. So I understand why Prometheus is a necessary thing that you need to explain. That
it was just Miss Marker in a way. And also, actually, Ridley Scott recently in an interview, he saw it. He admitted that maybe it wasn't a mistake going that route. So that's the reason Alien Covenant. That's actually supposed to have a different name. Now, like you say, it has Alien right there.
Yeah, Alien Covenant. Now everybody knows, and even in the marketing, that Xenomorph is right there bashing its head against the screen or at least lurking in the shadows. So again, I guess Covenant then is going to answer different questions.
It's supposed to be before, like a few years before the first original Alien.
So just maybe right this there. Is how...
Yeah,
they
this
freaking...
is going to answer all most of that Alien first movie. That's the interesting part of this movie.
Interesting. See, and again, what I want from a horror sequel is more explanation of where this thing is versus more mindless, I guess, hunting, killing. It doesn't scare me in the same way as something where, again, those engineers are planning something. They're doing this.
Yeah.
It's calculated. It's real. And you're like, wow, fuck this. Because again, to me, what I think he's going to do is the xenomorphs aren't going to be the only thing that we're going to see.
Well, it's supposed to be another kind of species too, called the neomorph.
Yeah, the neomorph.
So there are two.
We're going to have two, but I mean, even if he's planning like more down the line, I think we're going to see different types of, not just like variations of the xenomorph. I think we're seeing other crazy alien, quote unquote, type of beings that are going to come out, that are going to have different things that are going to be just as terrifying for us to kind of explore. Because to me, if this is the whole, I guess, notion behind it, then that's a terrifying thing, that they could just create whatever. We're one of the many that can be thrown out. Look how varied us between
Maybe
the xenomorphs
it's like
are.
That was the idea of the engineers. Let's create humans. So instead of experimenting on us, we experiment on this, you know, shit that we can disposal whatever we want.
Right.
But then this xenomorph, you know, get out of control, or they didn't expect the, you know, the side effect. And just to like wrap it up, the whole thing of the movies, another key element of these movies are the cyborgs, the robots.
Oh yeah,
the Weyland company creates. But it's so interesting. Michael Fassbender, I think, is the best of all these. Like, because also Winona Ryder, when the four was a cyborg too. I forget the name of the actor in the first one. He did a great job too. But they have a key element on all this, because the way they work is they want to know what happened without not question morals or consequences. They just are curious for nature. So there, Michael Fassbender do a great job, and in the Prometheus, he is the guy that the kind of start the whole problem, because he's the one to find the goo, and secretly he hide it, and then coming back to the ship, it's like, let's see what's about this shit. So they put in a drink of one of the passengers without the guy knowing it. Drink it, and then he becomes like this freaking crazy monster.
Yep.
So don't trust cyborgs. Don't trust your cell phone.
Don't trust aliens. Don't trust cyborgs. Got it.
There you go. But that's for the movies, and I'm excited for the Alien Covenant. It's May 19th.
You let me know how that goes, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to push you to come.
I'm going
to
sit that one out completely. I know my limits. I mean, if you come back and you're like, it's good. And again, like I said, out of
I mean,
tiering,
you watch Arrival.
Yeah. Out of tiering all the aliens, like the xenomorphs don't freak me out as much as like other types of aliens. But I mean, if Hugo... it's out on video and he comes over, like, I'll watch it at home where it's a more controlled environment where I can kind of pause it for a second. But I mean, I don't have any problems like that. It's not going to be that bad, but I'm just not going to, spend $15 to go not enjoy myself. Yeah.
So, well, to continue, because, we talk about other media. Surprisingly, I was talking to Chris before the podcast. It's a lot, I think, more games than movies at this point. And I'm just going to throw a few, and maybe you remember. I just remember a few, but not a lot. Surprisingly, Alien has a game on the Atari 2600. 1982.
I don't know how scary 8-bits can be.
The sad part is, I can describe it, there's like a Pac-Man, like, get sex with the E.T. game, and then they have Alien, so... kind of thing, yeah. Really bad game. I mean, it was,
sell like hotcakes because,
And it was at that time where they started the boom of licensing video games or movies. So.
How terrible.
Also, 1993 on the SNES by Proof Entertainment, Alien 3. It was an interesting game. It has a Metroid vibe. I just watched a few of the gameplay. Yeah. I don't remember seeing that game. But it has a lot of elements of like the scared part and also the action mixed in there.
And for the Super Nintendo, that must have been a huge step forward because at least in full color and there's more renderings than what you used to have. So, I mean,
We
skipped Aliens and we went to number 3. All right.
It's really interesting and I will try to... I mean, I don't know how people feel about playing ROMs, but I think at this point, it's not a big deal.
No.
I will try to find it. And
give maybe it a whirl.
I may do a stream on Twitch about that game. Let's see. From there, we jump to 1994 Capcom Arcade and Alien vs. Predator. I think that's the reason it started all the Alien vs. Predator thing. Yeah. But, I mean, Capcom Arcade at that time, it sounds like a good mix.
Yeah. It's good in this media, not good in the other one where it's in film.
Yeah. I mean, it's not much you can do. It's kind of like a hack and slash.
Yeah, like a virtual fighter, just something where you just punch the crap out of each other.
Yeah, and totally works.
Oh,
for those two monsters.
Two monsters, and you got 2 minutes. 2 minutes around to go at it.
Yeah,
no, let's make this a 2-hour film.
Then from there, we jump to all the way to 1998. Mythic Entertainment. This game was for PC. It was just called Aliens Online. So that's what it is.
Oh, God. damn you,
it looks horrible, for sure.
Yeah.
But it surprisingly seems like it has a good multiplayer based on what I was watching. I never played it. And I don't feel interested in playing it. But
no.
Just for curiosity.
Jesus.
Next year, another Alien vs. Predator, 1999. This is 3D Rebellion on PC. so far what I read is like, it has kind of like a good mechanics, but I mean, is that 3D looking it's dated,
You're going to get something that kind of looks like Doom?
A little square. Yeah. It looks kind of like
very pixelated, very, blocky.
Yeah.
You got 4 directions to move.
All right. So then 2003, this is when mobile games kind of start, but 2003.
I do remember these.
And it's something like Alien Untested Sorrent. I mean, Untested by Sorrent. And I mean, let's face it, at the time in 2003, beta games on phones where
you had Snake on your phone in 2003.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like a great approach, but the technology wasn't there.
Yeah, we weren't quite meeting that.
Yeah, it's not like iPhone era at all. Then 2011, Alien Infestation for Gearbox on the DS. A lot of people seems to like it a lot.
DS was a good system.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it doesn't look like freaking amazing graphics, but I'm pretty sure the gameplay was great.
I'm surprised it came out for the DS. At this point in Nintendo's life, they, I think, had only like a handful, maybe like 10 to 20 games on their DS system that were rated M. So for an Alien game to come out on the DS, that's quite surprising. But, I mean, it works.
And then we have the awful Alien Colonial Marines by Gearbox.
For those of you that don't know, he says it's awful because it is awful. It was one of the, it's one of the worst marks in video game history. I know nobody cares about this, but it pissed me off. It was the biggest swindle that the industry had ever seen. They showed tech demos of these things that
I know. I remember seeing them.
Polished gameplay of what you could have, but literally the company spent a year just working on the commercial.
No Man's Sky.
I'm looking at you, No Man's Sky. But they spent a year working on this commercial just for that purpose. Everything else in the game was complete and utter shit. You had guys floating in circles, like shooting, and when you would shoot, nothing would happen. The Xenomorph was completely indestructible. Right. And they shipped it out just broken.
Just like that.
I believe it went over through many lawsuits and lost.
Yep.
It bankrupted the company. Everything went down.
Actually, it was Gearbox and Wave Forward or something. It was like two come together. You know what's the funny thing? Gearbox did that Alien Infestation DS that everybody likes. Then it was Clone Marines. It's the same studio that make Borderlands. It surprised me that they made that crap.
I think it was the people that they were partnered with. Yeah. I think that it just kind of fell through. Nobody was really passionate about it. And it just didn't come together.
I'm sad because it looked like really great.
And that's what everybody wanted. Yeah. And it didn't come through. However, we did finally in 2000 and what was that, 14? We got the Alien game everybody deserved, which it stopped trying to be an action game. It stopped trying to be a platformer. Yeah. It stopped trying to be a mobile game. And it became a horror game.
The Alien Isolation. I like that game. I didn't finish it, but I'm planning to.
So again, me being the coward that I am with Aliens,
exactly.
I didn't want to get it. But you know, when Xbox has their sales and it's $5, it's $5 for the Ultimate Edition where you get all the DLC,
even replays in there.
I'm of course gonna get it. So it's terrifying because you can't fight against it. Right. You don't have a gun.
I mean, you kind of, sort of, but you never kill it.
No.
Just carry it or something. You got a flamethrower,
because it hates fire. So it uses all the lore. You're Ripley's kid, and you're isolated, and you're with all the bots that are terrifying as well.
Right.
But you're with this thing that's hunting you. So you have to stay ahead of it by hunting it, keeping away, keeping your distance. You play with headphones on. I screamed out loud multiple times. Yeah. I never scream. Even in movies, I'll jump. This game, no, but it's so good. If you want to experience what that's like, you put this on your big screen, you turn off all the lights. I don't care how manly you are. You plug in your headset, you put that on, you make sure nobody's in the house, and you play that game, you will be screaming like a child.
Or if you're not a sissy and you have enough money to have a VR system, go ahead.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding?
Oh, God.
I think those are the games there. Like, okay, I can see what, you know, VR future with these kind of games.
Right, because it's not one of those games where you have to, like,
let's move, you know, work in the office and shit like that.
Yeah, no, it's one of those games where you can literally just sit there and move around and
look around.
And that's the whole point, is to look around, because it's a slower paced game. Yeah. You can without getting sick, and it really immerses you in that gameplay. One game that, before Alien Isolation, the closest you could get to it, I don't know if you ever played it, it was called Dead Space.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never play them, but I see some gameplay and I know the whole game. It's on my list someday.
It is one of the greatest horror games that I've ever had the experience of playing. A friend just let me borrow it because he was just like, eh, if you're bored, play it some summer. And because I work at a school, I get lots of summers off, so I can just cook through a lot of my backlog. That same isolated feeling, everybody's dead, and there are these creatures that take over the body of people that are dead, and you kind of have to kill them. The part that was so scary is because you had to manage ammo. And I think that's what a lot of games don't do, because they don't want the player to feel like, oh, well, you wasted all your ammo, now you're screwed. Yeah. This game was geared towards those hardcore players of...
Kind of like Resident Evil, right?
Yeah.
The first ones. You don't have
the
harder
ones, where if you were a dumbass and you fired blindly, you were going to run out of ammo, which changed your gameplay quite drastically. With this, it was... I need to make every shot count. And so you were like, okay, cool. First, go for the legs. Cut the legs off. You slow them down. Now I can manage the giant hordes that are coming at me. Great game, but definitely the best Alien game is Alien Isolation.
Yeah, and actually now that you say about that game, the Dead Space, I think that game is based on a movie in the space. I think actually it came after Alien, but... trying to find the name of that movie, but it's kind of like Dead Space, where it's not like an alien per se, it's more like a
zombie
kind of exorcist myth, Dead Space kind of thing. Well, I will find it later, but that movie is like freaking ridiculously creepy and disturbing.
Yeah,
like is this guy with this like wired thing around his head.
Oh my god. No. Caroline's friend came over the other day and she was telling us about it. I know what you're talking about. It has Sam Neill in it and stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Everybody says that movie is one of the most fucked up, scary, weird movies. Yes. It was Event Horizon?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's freaking
and again, I haven't
disturbing.
Seen it. I looked at just some screenshots and I had to look at her and I'm like, what is this? Yeah, no, yeah, go look those up. That is
if you want to have a whole terror night, go to Alien, watch that, and watch this other one. And don't sleep the whole night.
I need to take a freaking sleeping pill to go to sleep tonight. But, can't sleep. Aliens will get me.
But I think I just highly recommend it, even if you're a scary person. Just watch it. At least once you have the experience to watch it. You know? And if you're a big fan, then get pumped like me because it's coming Alien Covenant May 19, I think, next weekend. That's great.
And again, we're all about supporting the movies that we like and the movies that we think that you would like.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, before we finish, Chris, you have any recommendation for our listeners today?
Like I said, I wish I would have said it last week, but I'm going to say it now. The Arrival, sticking with the Alien theme, I want to recommend that one to everybody because it's a very different take on the Alien theme, and I think it's a very real take about what would happen if aliens did appear, but they were hesitant. Like, they didn't want to come down. They didn't want to make that contact quite yet. How we as Earthlings are so divided and so quick to just retaliate or make the first strike because we don't want to be struck on first. And just that kind of scare tension that we would all feel as a world. And its main point is unity. I really like the movie. I really like the message that it sent out.
It's kind of like Independence Day, but in a smart way.
Yeah.
You know, do it in a really smart way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Independence Day, the first one is... It's fun because that's the purpose, but other than that, it's just, you know?
Yeah, other than that, it's absolutely crap.
But yeah, this one, especially the director, I love the director. I still have trouble with his name, but he did Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jack Gyllenhaal. Super high recommended movie. And then he did also Sicario, another amazing movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's this year's Blade Runner 2049. So, this guy,
he knows what he's doing. And I watched all like 3 hours of its bonus features.
Right.
Yeah, go Chris. on an alien movie, too.
Exactly.
No, and he's very meticulous and he knows what he wants and he knows what he likes, but he's also very, what I like about him is he's a team player. He knows what he's capable of, but he's like, I hired you for a reason and you delivered on it. So, I got to respect the guy. My recommendation for TV series. I'm currently watching the last series called the last season of the series. It's called Leftovers. The Leftovers. It's on HBO. Yeah. What is his name? Thoreau. Is it Justin Thoreau?
I don't remember.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's basically about how 2% of the world's population just disappeared one day.
And
the world kind of has to cope with it. And everybody, a lot of religious zealots think it's the rapture, but some people look into it and they think like, no, there was a rapist that was in prison that went up to heaven, not just your children. And so it really pisses people off. But the whole premise of the show is so heavy and intricate. I don't know. It totally changes my mood. My wife hates watching it with me because I get so enthralled. She's like, laugh, do something. And I'm like, no, I gotta find out. And so, I mean, each season is so tonally different than the last, but I love it for that reason.
Yeah.
The only thing I hate about it is they keep changing the opening credits.
Oh, okay.
And so for me, it's just so ununiform. But the music for it, and that's the other thing. The music for it is amazing. It's on point. I love every bit of it.
So, sounds like The Happening.
That's what I write. Oh. It's a Mark Wahlberg-less Happening. The Leftovers. Go ahead and check that out if you have HBO.
There you go. Any games? Well, you've been playing Mass Effect.
Actually, I put Mass Effect on hold because as an addict, I fell back on my Destiny.
Okay.
I'm really trying to get Hugo. I really want him to wait for Destiny 2, but I really kind of want to peer pressure him into Destiny 1.
Maybe I can find I think the other day I saw in Walmart for $20 the whole.
If you can pick it up for $20, dude.
But I was like, oh, my wife is going to kill me. She's going to see the.
I swear to God, man, yeah. I'll give you 10 that you can't. I want to Twitch so bad and just teach you the ropes because it is such a fun game and I would feel so bad because I hear everything's going to change in number two a lot.
Probably.
But it's such a fun game to experience because if you like multiplayer but you don't like the competitiveness of it, what Destiny does is it fosters cooperation. So even if you don't want to touch PvP, player versus player, you can just, Hugo and I and anybody else that wants to join us can be the third party member. And you can run missions. Right. Everything that you could do in single player, you can do with another person. And it makes it so much more enjoyable.
I mean, we play our first multiplayer. It was fun. I mean, I suck even more, but...
We pulled out a couple W's. Yeah. We were winning.
I did one of those, reward box thing on Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
So, it was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will try. I will try before Destiny 2 comes.
Yes.
For me, I didn't watch much recently.
You went to Mexico.
I went to Mexico to watch boxing, which was extremely disappointing. Like, they pump it so much, and it was freaking disappointing.
Was it that one guy?
The
that
Canelo. Yeah, my wife liked this.
What's his nickname?
Canelo, cinnamon guy. Because he's white and has freckles, Mexico. I don't know. but yeah, that guy win, but it was super disappointed to the point where I'm thinking really seriously why I'm following this sport. But once in a while, I know it sounds really ridiculous, but I feel like it's a beauty on
when you
that,
have,
kind of really freaking mess, but
when you have two fighters that know what they're doing and can really respect each other and it's not just a...
Right.
But it's more of like... It looks like a dance when you have two really good fighters out there and they
Forward is insane. Like, dude, probably when a few punch of those, I'm going to be in the floor already.
One punch.
These guys go for 12 rounds,
So if it was super disappointing, that means it must have been over fairly quickly.
No, I went the 12 rounds. It's just the other guy become a sissy and never... I don't know, So to put in perspective, a normal round of boxing, at least each fighter will throw between 70 to 100 punches around its 3 minutes. This guy throw 71 punches on the 12 rounds. I don't know, maybe the guy was scared to get knocked out or something, but
it's a tactic where if he knew that the other guy could probably knock him out, he's going to play it safe. He just played defense the entire time and just stalled the inevitable. But it happened anyway.
Yeah.
So, but,
I mean, if you're a Mexican, that's the thing. If you're a boxer in Mexico and you do that, you're disrespecting all the heritage and legacy of Mexican boxing. It sounds macho, but it's a macho thing kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's that. And then,
anyways, coming back, I for video games, one game that surprised me a lot is the Strider game.
I saw you get Remaster. A couple achievements on that. Yeah.
It was a Capcom sale, and I, like you say, you can really hold it. And it was like $4 for that game.
You feel so good when you pick it up for those prices.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I'm going to buy it. So, and I really like it. It's
how cool
sort
is that?
Of hack and slash, you know, old style with the new, you know,
I don't care
technology.
What anybody says. Hack and slash games sometimes are so therapeutic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't need to think that much.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's a strategy, but it's not a complex, you know. It's just like straightforward. Kill yeah. these guys, go through the stage, and then boom. You.
It's
like,
entertainment at its purest. That's so cool, though.
It's pretty good. Movies. Oh, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I saw it, too. How'd you like it?
I liked the first better, but still, it holds pretty well.
I'm going to agree that the first one probably is better because it's something nobody had seen before. Second one does a really good job holding yeah. a candle to it. Story-wise, it's not as strong.
Right,
but character-wise, yeah. much stronger than the first one.
Baby Groot still on the show for me.
Oh, Baby Groot, definitely.
And Drax.
You like Drax.
It just seems so like, you're beautiful. You just inside, because you're ugly outside.
Yeah, you're ugly on the outside. Mantis definitely got me to laugh quite a bit because she was so innocent. I don't know. I don't know about you. Anything to do with dads, I don't know why or how, but it always hits me so hard. I was bawling like a baby at the end. Like, I just had silent tears streaming down. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
I just had silent tears streaming down my face.
Yeah.
And it was like 1 a.m. because we saw it on opening night. And I'm just crying, thinking like, fuck me. Really? Damn it. Yeah, just it's that cry. Just like,
I don't know. It didn't work for me. I feel like it was rushed. And that was the part that was less interested on the whole movie, the Peter Quill and the dad.
And again, you know, I don't mind that Peter Quill, and I was talking to Caroline the other day, I don't mind that he actually was in the background, because I feel like we got quite a bit of him in the first one.
Yeah,
he was. And I actually wanted to know about the other people.
Like the, you know, Yondu story. Yondu was kind of cool.
I freaking loved Yondu in this movie.
The thing I like these characters, not per se Yondu, just the actor,
Michael Rourke. Yeah. But again, that's half the fun of having to play these characters is
Trolling.
You love the actor, so it makes you like the character. Even though if anybody else played him, you probably wouldn't be as invested.
Yeah, probably not. It just fit him real well.
Right, and so to me, it worked. I love the movie. I did feel like it kind of copied and pasted some things from the first one.
But why not? You know, it was successful.
You get your opening dance number again. You get a lot of the same like weird soundtrack moments where you could tell like the scene was made because of the soundtrack or the song. And then, I don't know. You're right. I do feel like the ending, though, that you're talking about, because we're not going to spoil it, was a bit rushed, but we were running on close to 3 hours for that movie.
Yeah, I know. And it didn't feel that much. But yeah, at times it was kind of slow, but where the first Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy, was fast-paced all the time.
Yeah, because you had so many new characters, so many new things to learn. This one was smaller in scope. You only saw about 3 different planets.
Right.
But it gave you a lot of backstory for all the characters, not just Peter.
And so much hints of what's coming for the whole Marvel universe, supposedly.
And just so everybody knows, that's 5 post-credit scenes. Right. 5 of them. So make sure you sit through all of it.
The thing that, like, everything I was fine, the only thing that made me scream like, oh, awesome, like an idiot, especially because it was in Mexico, so nobody speak English. So this guy, why is yelling, awesome? Fucking prick. Is when they give it to Peter Quill the Zune.
And oh, probably
nobody cares about that, but I was
I'm so sorry we spoiled that, but owner of
a Zune.
I kept thinking we're not gonna tell you why, but I mean the Zune came out what, like 2007?
Yeah, it's something like that.
And so stupid. It was the competitor with the iPod.
It came late to the party.
Yeah, like 4...
Just like the Windows phones.
3 years after the iPod originally dropped. And what it was supposed to be this huge thing. My brother is such an elitist with technology. Yeah. He went out and he bought it because he was just like, this is what everybody's talking about. This is what everybody says is going to be the greatest thing. So it made it that much sweeter. Because again, I remember thinking even back then, I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's the same thing as an iPod. No, it's different. It's different. No, dude, it's going to fail. And so to see them hand it over, he's like, everybody on Earth is using this. It's called a Zune.
I mean, it's clear a joke. I mean, I read that the director Microsoft invited me for something to show some of the products. And James Gunn really liked the design, the style, and everything. Because really, let's face it, the iPod is fucking boring. Same as the iPhones. You can notice
so
that.
Bad.
But he said, like, no, I'm not going to rebuy all my music that I have already on my iPod. You know? Like, what? I'm not going to get a Zune just for that reason. Yeah. Which is reasonable. And I still remember, I'm a sucker for supporting kind of like a
new technology,
new tech. Like, I have a Pebble right now on my wrist, and sadly their Fitbit buy it, so eventually this, maybe in a year and a half or something, is, you know,
it's gonna be gone.
Yep. So, but I just like different products, so that when they come, like, yeah, awesome, the only loser that still have a Zune in my house.
You're so bad.
Even my wife, when I bought it, because it was around when I meet Nicole. And I went and, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy that one, the Zune. And Nicole was like, what the fuck is that thing? You should buy an iPod. It's cooler. I'm like, no, I want a Zune. And also, I was young, so it was that point where you're against, like, if everybody goes that way, I'm going to go this way. Even if I know maybe it's going to fail.
Yeah.
I still love my Zune. I have a lot
that
of music.
So bad. But no, yep, that was definitely one of the better moments of the film. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I think we were going to wrap it up because probably at this point, maybe it's a possibility. A high possibility. My wife's super drunk.
Yeah, maybe our wives are drinking wine out there. So, yeah. We're probably going to walk out to something.
Well, people, it's 22.
22.
I'm going to try to come out with something for it. Maybe, you know what? Let's do the streaming thing for the number 25.
Number 25, we will be streaming. The we will thing. Ask for Diego Luna to make a guest appearance. Right. I don't know if he's going to make it, but...
Let's see.
I know some people.
I can print, like, something and just put it right there.
We will have a framed picture of Diego Luna, like, right in between us.
A full size, you know, one of those.
That would be pretty funny to have a cutout.
Still, like, I don't know where I'm going to find one of those. But anyways, that's it for today. It's been a pleasure. Go and watch Alien Covenant, even if you're... scared of aliens. If not, just be like Chris and wait for the
DVD.
Yeah, exactly. And a tinier, smaller screen and not super loud speakers.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're waiting for somebody to claim that shirt.
Do I have to, like, put the shirt on and show you all how, like, awesome the shirts are?
Maybe we should do that. We should, you know, do some for us and put a picture in.
I mean,
we're going to see what's
going on. We got 3 weeks. We got 3 weeks before the... We'll wear them for the live stream.
There you go. And, have a lot of sex. Enjoy. You know, hashtag Halos. If you want to tag us in something, also add the hashtag Halos. And talk to us. Communicate. Recommend us topics. If you have some topic in specific, we can come up with something.
I'm going to hashtag it now. I'm going to hashtag Logan 2018. None of you know what that means. It's not about Wolverine, but I'm just going to hashtag it right now. Hashtag Logan.
At some point, we're going to throw the meaning behind that hashtag.
Hashtag 2018 Logan.
All right, people. All right. Lots of love.
Adios.
Sex. Influence. Adios.
Bye. We'll be right back.